Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Bota Snidus.
Kenneth Hurland.
Tony Keel. With guest co-host
John Archer.
So, Ken, I'm feeling like crap today, but at least there's some good news. We have a new friend on the show today, guest co-hosting. It is our good friend, John Archer, also known as BT Oz. Have you met this guy before, Ken?
Well, we were just doing a little bit of chatting beforehand, but
yep.
As far as doing any mods together or talking much on the forums, not much. I'm pretty sure I've read his posts before because I've read like everyone's posts. If you haven't been on, I mean, unless you're like really new, of course.
Well, he's kind of a lurker. You know, that means he hides in the shadows of the forum and then leaps out to catch his prey and eats it with his in the darkness of the cave.
Yes. Yeah,
blind eyes. No, that's a different kind of lurker. No, I'm thinking, you know, cave lurker. He's a forum lurker. Hopefully not forever.
Certainly not.
Welcome to Modcast episode 19. Today we are joined with Wouter Lacutus Snyders.
Hello.
Kenneth Impaler WRG Furland.
Megathrusters are go.
Me, Tony Garrett Sidzaka Keel. Hello. With special guest co-host John BT Oz Archer.
Good night, everyone.
Sweet. So, we got a great show planned. We got a lot of interesting topics. And Ken, you smell like a fart.
As do you, Tony.
Yeah, I kind
of... How can you tell?
Well, I have like this setup...
Advanced smell-o-vision.
Yeah, smell-o-vision. I have smell-o-vision. Brings me smells over the internet. But it only has one smell and it just releases shit stuff. It has only one setting. Or maybe that's my own ass. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Today, in the artist's sketchpad, we talked about Hugo Chavez, leaderhead by Knickknacks, a bunch of buildings by Refar, so a couple buildings by Duel, and Supply Caravan's unit by Refar.
And today in the code corner, we look at the newest AI improvements by JDog5000, Yak, and Ayustus.
In upcoming mods, we talked about Cesaret's new Aftermath mod. In the artist's sketchpad, we discuss graphics and artwork from the modding community.
Alright, we have some good artwork today. We have some very good artwork. And the first one I knew you would like because you are very... politically inactive, Ken, or politically active, I guess. And it's our wonderful round friend from Venezuela who seems that every turn he's going to try to piss off the majority of the American populace and the ruling elite. And it's our friend Hugo Chavez. And this is a leader by Knickknacks.
Yeah, this is a pretty interesting looking leaderhead. I mean, it's got... like a bit of a stylistic to it. I mean, like it seems a little more angular in places than I think it should be. I mean, like because he's a little chubby guy, so it should be a little more rounded, I think. But overall, it's a really interesting leaderhead, and it's got pretty good likeness to it. It looks like he's used a very nice texture on it, like actually real texture.
Yeah, he did the photoreal texture, the face peel.
Yeah. The shirt and uniform. It looks like it's a pretty straight up. You know, recolored Roosevelt suit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely a recolored Roosevelt.
Yeah, but it fits very well. I mean, the blue and the red. How many of those, like, I might have wanted them in that pose, you know, where it's like, remember the clips? I think it was maybe about a year ago, you know, where he's like, they had him recording, you know,
gesticulating.
Like, insulting Bush and calling, Mr. Bush, you are a donkey. You remember that one?
That's so awesome.
It had a lot of press, you know. It's like he would do it in Spanish and then he would do it in English, you know.
Every silly thing he says gets on the press.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing I can tell here that he maybe needs to improve, or maybe he didn't know about the face peel, but if you look around his eyes, there's kind of a square around his eyes where he cut that texture out. But he's supposed to
mention it. Yeah, I kind of do see that.
But he did good. He just forgot to set up something on his whatever program he uses for textures. He has to set up feathering on the cuts.
Yeah,
yeah. When you cut out an eye patch off a picture, you need to have feathering on it about 10 pixels. And what it'll do is there's still a seam there, but because it feathers with transparency, it'll just completely disappear. It's like magic. So that's all you have to do there.
Yeah, now, well, shadowing and things like that, you can see this Leaderhead doesn't appear to be casting any shadow on itself, as if the light was coming directly from the camera.
Well, I think
all Leaderheads do that.
Think this guy, I think Knickknacks didn't use the whole I don't think he did the whole face like I do. I think he did, like, recognizable features like the lips and the eyes, and the rest of it looks like he colored it. Maybe he did the forehead, but my opinion of this is he hand-colored the rest. That's my guess, but who knows?
I wonder what programmer he was using, maybe the GIMP or Photoshop?
Yeah, I don't know. I use only GIMP because I don't want to pay for Photoshop, but I don't know what Knickknacks use. We should ask him, or maybe he'll let us know or something. But
This will definitely go into your Second Revolution mod, I would assume.
I'm thinking about having alternate leaders. What I really need right now is a Sub-Commander Marcos leaderhead, and I still can't quite figure out how I'm going to do it. But
Sub-Commander Marcos? That doesn't ring a bell.
Sub-Commander Marcos, Citizen Zero, he's from Oaxaca. He's originally from Mexico City. He's a professor. But he's the guy who always wears the balaclava and has a little green commie hat, and then always has the pipe.
It totally doesn't ring a bell. I don't think I've ever heard of him.
Totally haven't played my mod, you jerk.
Okay. Is this the real character, or is this someone you invented?
No, all my stuff in my mod is real characters. The whole game and premise is invented, though.
Oh, okay.
Good work, Knickknacks. All right. The next
I haven't played a Civ 4 mod in ages.
Well, play Second Revolution 3.0 whenever the hell I can get it done.
Okay, if you ever finish it, I'll promise I'll play it.
Yay! Well, I'll probably need you to help me freaking debug it. You're dull!
Okay, but you have to do art for me in return.
I'll draw whatever you want.
Okay.
If you want a picture of you, I'll draw a stick figure with a smiley face on it. That's about kill.
No, you have to do all the art for my indie game.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. Dude, let's do it. Let's start an indie game right now. All right, the next bit of artwork I have is by Refar, and it looks like a number of buildings done for various mods. It looks like we've got some cathedrals or basilicas up top.
Okay, the first one, the Basilica of Moscow, 218 polygons. The Semper in Dresden. The Burl Theater in Antwerp. And the Old Opera House in Frankfurt.
That's pretty awesome.
200 to 300 polygons, which is an excellent number. I mean, it's not the tens of thousands of polygons that other people would have used to render these things.
Yeah,
people go overhand with a lot of these, but they look wonderful.
He really focused on the
nice
texture.
Yes, yeah. I think though it looks like he's made basement levels, which is basically when a model gets rendered in the game, it like gets put right on the ground, but sometimes on a hill, and it would like show a little bit of underneath the building. So instead of having the building just hang off the edge, like a big ledge, a bit of downward pillar to it. So like
I think every single building in Civ 4 has that, but maybe some of their custom people don't have it.
Yeah, but he's included those. But if you include them, you should also color them to like the rest of the building, whereas these are just uncolored. So if you actually ended up seeing it, it wouldn't look good.
Oh, these aren't too bad. Look at the next one. You got the Alamo. Got to have the Alamo for the Texas mod. If I know there's not a Texas.
Yeah. So it's just a generic-looking chapel.
Mission. These
the
are
Alamo
missions.
Unless you have a chorale as well.
These are missions, man. These are totally different than a chapel. They had a mission, very different purpose.
It's the mission chapel. You know, it's like a mission is a whole complex. A chapel is only one building of a mission. This is a mission building.
Yeah, well, okay, let's quibble over semantics some more, Ken.
That being said, these would be awesome to put into colonization when you actually build a mission in an Indian village.
Yeah. There's nothing
in the game that actually represents that other than a little icon on the city billboard. But if you actually got a building in the city, wow, that'd be so cool.
Perfect.
And it's generic enough that they would be able to be used for all different tips, all four.
Same game engine, it'd be easy to just pop it right in.
Yeah.
The next one we got would also might be useful for colonization if it goes south enough, but they've got Mesoamerican buildings. It's like we have some pyramids and ziggurats or whatnot.
No, no, ziggurats are Mesopotamian. It's not a ziggurat in the New World.
Okay.
It's a Mayan pyramid.
And apparently he had built these out of, he says these are kitbashes, so that means he built them out of other pieces and assembled them together.
Yeah, like the one in the middle does have a strong resemblance to the courthouse. The sacrificial altar courthouse thing. You know the building.
Yeah. And the last one he has is one I actually was trying to make myself, but I failed miserably. But he managed to make a beautiful car henge. That is so awesome.
Oh, and guess what mod that's going to be used?
Oh, that's of course for the Mad Max Fury Road mod, of course.
Yep.
Poly count is pretty high, though. It's around 1,000. But considering there's at least, 30 different cars there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not bad, though. I think you could easily lower the poly count on the cars themselves,
Well, it's a wonder, so you're only going to have one,
Yeah.
You're not going to be cluttering up the screen with, if you have a 1,200 poly unit, it's when it's going to really hurt.
Yeah, I wonder what the effects of car henge will be when they're like, what kind of bonus does it give you? Car henge, you get plus one what?
Yeah.
But needless to say, these are some of the best buildings I've seen. I mean, they're very nicely designed. They've got a lot of diversity of form and shape and color to them.
He's an excellent building. He's an excellent graphics artist altogether, Rifar.
Yeah. He's got a good sampling of variety from around the world, too. He's got Shinto temples, Zoroastrian temples, Norse temples. All kinds of excellent stuff there. Rifar, you rock.
We bow before you. And we'll cover some more of those units maybe next week. Some more of those buildings. We also have some other buildings by Duel. And Duel definitely likes to has a main theme under all the work of Final Fantasy VII. And if you look at these buildings, you've got a Mako reactor from Final Fantasy VII, and you also got Midgar and the wall reactors, which looks pretty cool. Mm.
They look pretty close to the original game in the PlayStation.
Yeah.
But, the Mako reactor looks very, very close to the original in the game, because I remember playing that on the PlayStation 1 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, from if you're looking at Final Fantasy graphics, everything was so ridiculously low poly that if it makes an accurate looking model, they look like, wow, that looks low poly compared to everything else in Civ 4. You know what I mean?
But it actually fits for the old game.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of this. I'm a big continuity person. I want everything to be roughly the same quality. If there's something that's if something's setting the bar high, everything else that's below that will look sucky,
Well, that's kind of like you, Ken.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Zing! Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I really said, but I think
it's
a zing.
It's not zig, it's zing.
I said zing, I didn't say zig.
No. No.
Who says zig? Right. I think Wouter says zig.
Zigs are those things, you're supposed to take off every one of them for great justice, etc.
Or I thought they were paired with zags.
No.
Zigzag.
Wrong type of zig.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
This makes no sense. And then,
not really.
Looks like Refar gets covered twice this week because this last one I looked at and I was absolutely in love with. And it's again just showing that he is one of the most versatile graphics artists. But it is the Supply Caravan for also the Mad Max Fury Road mod. And if you look here, he's got a wagon.
It's the end of a pickup truck that's been chopped off is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely the end of a pickup truck. And it looks like the driver was made by Chuggy, but of course we've got the Brahmin, two-headed cows, pulling the wagon along.
Yes, that's two-headed cows for a total of four heads.
That's a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah.
That'd be four extra lots of moose.
Yeah, that's true. And then it looks like what is these inside the supply? There's like several wagons
that's
in here.
Variants, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that there were a lot of Egyptian sarcophagi in Australia.
Yeah.
Although there's actually a pyramid up in New South Wales, actually hidden in the mountains, but the government doesn't want us to know about it.
Well, maybe. Maybe that represents museum loot.
The Aborigines pyramid? Yeah,
so. Okay. Oh, I think they did, but
okay, so there's some kind of art loot. What's the one in the middle? It looks like
Nuka-Cola. It looks like food.
Okay.
It's a whole Coke machine. A cola machine.
Wow.
Yes.
They just steal the whole Coke machine. It's like, yeah.
And it looks like...
That's useful.
And then what's the one on the top, the one that's got the green canvases over? Is that maybe oil or something?
Or just maybe oil spot? Or just a covered wagon variant. He's got five variants all together. He's got the medicine, looks like food stuffs and artwork.
Oh, and empty, yeah. I guess
and then empty.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So
I'm wondering if old David Allen is going to... code in that this unit switches from whatever task it's doing or something. That'd be kind of cool. Switches graphics.
Yeah, yeah. You could.
It looks like from the description that it's stuff that comes from Goody Huts.
Oh, that's.
Oh, okay. So a different one would be spawned from each type of Goody Huts. So you get a pop a medical, you pop a. Okay, I get it.
Hmm.
Well, that'll
they
be
actually
cool.
Have it as a unit though, like you know, like the supply wagon train thing.
Oh yeah, he makes it so you have to drive your shit back to the city and. Risk getting eaten by spiders and crap.
Giant spiders.
Yeah.
We still need rad scorpions. You hear that, listeners? We need a rad scorpion.
Wait, why don't you make a rad scorpion?
I am not that skillful.
At making insectoidal animation?
Yeah, I suck. I'm just a terrible artist. You guys make fun of everything I put on the show, so... I've learned.
Sweet, though. That was a very interesting model, and more Fury Road stuff getting made. Fury Road is getting so much good art thrown at it. It's like, ooh, something new. I'm sick of doing fantasy and real life stuff. So
yeah, exactly.
Mad Max now. It's refreshing, I think, for the artist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's so much fun they can have with that crap.
Welcome to the Code Corner, where we discuss Python and SDK mods.
Ken?
I'm kind of wondering what this topic was that you were looking at here. It looks like JDog and a couple of the guys who worked with Blake. I mean, there's Yak, Ninja2, Roland, Johansson. They seem to be getting together and doing some more planning for improved AI stuff. Though I haven't looked into all of what they've been doing here. They got a thread here about AI discussions. They seem to be actively working on more, you know, mechanisms and improvements to the AI. So I don't see anything to download yet.
Oh, so it's just a work in progress, or...?
They do have a CFC and a source here. Yeah.
I only add files that have been uploaded. I always know... what file's been added to the database. So that's what I add to the show. But what made me interested in this is the BTSI AI is already brutal. Mm-hmm. So they're going to make it really hard on you. Like getting whooped up at Chieftain or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so actually I'm looking at their bug list here and their fix list. They fixed a number of bugs. They've got... better strategies for the AI to calculate, you know, when it should attack you based on, like, how far away you are, what resources you have, all kinds of things that will make it a little more intelligent, things it wasn't previously considering.
Do they have any of their source code up there?
Well, like I said, their source seems to be on SourceForge.
Oh, I see.
Got it right now.
That's interesting. A lot of modders are starting to do their stuff at SourceForge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the SourceForge has been going on a while now. So the two admins are Iustis and JDog5000. People remember Iustis was, he collaborated with Blake. So it seems the two of them are like the primary team behind this next generation of enhanced AI.
Did we get JDog on the show yet?
I think we had him on once a long time ago.
That's good. But what kind of changes are they making to the AI? Like, what new functions will there be that I have to prepare for if I downloaded this?
Well, it looks like one of the focuses is air combat AI. They're going to take in more of the effects that were introduced in BTS, but weren't really, how would you say, they didn't have a strong AI behind them. AI tends to lag. I remember when the BTS AI is essentially an upgrade of all the stuff that happened in Warlords. But the new features added in BTS haven't had as much polish on the AI. So that's one of the things they're doing there.
Oh, that's good.
Basically making the AI's air combat smarter, how it uses the motions that it gets a little more effectively. Let's see, barbarian ships, blockade cities more.
Yeah, because I really noticed the AI is a little bit less strong in naval, especially on BTS.
Yeah, see, modified naval bombardment priorities.
A couple of the members, I know at least Solver was part of the production of BTS, wasn't he?
Yeah. So okay. Beta tester as well.
Oh, yeah.
I see damaged ships will stay in city longer unless there's a highly threat. There's a lot of just little good polish pieces. I mean, you know, with Blake's AI and BTS, I think it revolved mostly around keeping stacks organized well for on an attack, so it would move in stacks, use a stack of doom strategy, basically, in the AI.
And have mixed warfare tactics, more stacks of just catapults.
Yeah. And then the other thing was better city placement. Those were really, I think, the two main driving things behind the Blake AI improvements. So it would build its cities better in better locations, and thus just get better stuff and have a better economic growth rate because of that. And the second thing was that it warred better. And this is like a whole lot of stuff all over the place they're doing here. It doesn't seem to be focused so much along, you know, very narrow lines.
Yeah.
Looks like they got some partial implementation of the A-Star algorithm to solve distance closeness to determine when it's going to attack you. It does not yet cost effective, though. The function to determine when a city shares the same ocean, area, lake, so it can know that I can invade you here to there. City closeness calculations to use population both cities, not just population of the other cities. Stuff, though. I definitely hope they keep going with this. I mean, this looks like it has the potential to be as much of an upgrade over the current BTS as BTS was over Warlords. I mean,
well, from what I understand, I'm not a coder at all. I suck at coding these days, but AI coding is somewhat difficult and intensive, am I correct?
It depends. I mean, a lot of what Blake did was to modify values in the AI at first. The hard-coded numbers, which essentially get all these other factors get multiplied by to determine what the AI does.
So he tweaked them a bit?
Yeah, it was a lot of number tweaking at first, and then he moved into actually creating new little pieces of code that would take into account things that previously hadn't been looked at. So basically, when the AI code just runs, it says, hey, I need to build something in this city. Run through every possible thing I could build and assign a value to it, and then just build the best one. So it would say, okay, here's thing number one. You know, let's say that's like a granary. And it'll go through, and it'll look through all the data files, say, what do granaries do for me? Oh, they have this effect. You know, they give you the plus 50% food retaining after an event. And that would normally have been like, say, okay, take that 50%, multiply it by another arbitrary number, like say 100, add that to your cumulative score we've got so far. Yeah, da, da. And then there'd be another place where, oh, well, the building costs this much, multiply by this number, and then subtract that. So, and it would just do these addings and subtractings from a score it's running up. And at the end, it'd say, okay, the total was this building is worth 80, and that's what the building was worth.
And then it'll compare all of the integers at the end, and whichever's highest it'll do, or?
Yeah. So, say the granary got a score of 80, a barracks got a score of 50, It goes through everything, and it just says, okay, now build the building that was the most effective. The same thing basically happens every time a unit wants to move, every time the AI wants to make any kind of tech decision, except it just does this run-through of everything it can do, and then pick the best one. So Blake would just start at first by tweaking the numbers. Say, you know, granaries actually are more valuable than that. So he said instead of multiplying it by 100, multiply it by 200. Now it's worth twice as much. And it came back with a score of 160. And then he would start to do more sophisticated things. So like say, oh, well, this city isn't actually producing a high food surplus, so the granary isn't really going to do you any good anyway because you're not growing your population. So
now that's already in the AI, or is that something he added?
That's something he would add. You know.
Oh.
That's just an example, though. That probably already existed. But he would increase the sophistication of the calculations so they would take into account more factors and more instances that are important to making the decision. And that's basically what they're doing here. They're doing the same type of thing. Speaking numbers and then adding more logic to the AI to make it more sophisticated.
Yeah, it looks like there's a lot of threads in here about stuff they want to see. Like, for instance, one guy posted worker stealing, like he wants to see if that can be improved. You know, maybe the AI goes specifically hunt your workers down.
That would be absolutely brutal, since that is the strategy that a lot of people use to basically nerf the AIs. I mean, like if I run up the AI and steal its workers, I cripple it at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's really not competitive after that. So I don't do that myself.
Done that for ages. I actually look for their stack of two workers around and yoink.
And it's like you put your warrior right next to their borders, and eventually it's like when the worker gets close enough, bam. And the AI doesn't know to not put its worker in a place like that, or it doesn't want to know to cover it with its own worker and all those things. So,
well, I've just gone in there, steal the worker, and then just disband the worker because I couldn't move it all the way back without getting captured. So I'd just go in there and steal and trash the workers whenever I could.
Yeah, that's kind of an exploit, though, to be able to disband a worker as you've captured it. You know, like, it's kind of cheesy, if you ask me.
Well, I don't think it's against the...
Disband a unit until the turn after you...
That's not a rule in the official, like, Game of the Months or Hall of Fames, I don't think, is it? I mean, it's not a recognized exploit.
I don't know. I mean, I think most people consider it a pretty valid strategy because... If a human was doing it, you would go in and you would try to attack their workers. But just the AI isn't good at defending itself.
Yeah. Well, maybe...
It's legitimate against a human. But yeah, if the AI could do that, defend it against that, and then did it to you, I mean, like, wow, that would be at least another difficulty level, effectively, at the higher level. Because people use that to, you know, like, knock out and cripple the nearby AI as giving themselves room to expand. And weak targets they can munch on later, you know?
Yeah. A lot of times what I'll do is if I have to make a long road between two distant colonies, I'll get two workers and maybe an axeman and just group them together. And that's a little slower that way, but not much. And you can build roads all over the continent with that tactic. If they do worker stealing in this code, maybe they would send units at that axeman stack, just screw you over.
Mm. Actually try to overwhelm the stack with like two axemen, so I kill both you guys and then take both your workers.
That would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But the BTS AI is, as our listeners know, already pretty brutal. I mean, it lowered a lot of players down by one difficulty level. It did that for me.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, quite interesting. Good luck, guys. Make something evil, unholy AI to... bring upon the Civ Apocalypse.
Civocalypse? Yes.
That has a good ring to it.
Yeah, like the Zocalypse? The Zombie Apocalypse?
The Zombie Apocalypse?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of which...
Do they have many zombie problems in Australia, John?
Only after dark.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No daytime zombies.
No, it's mostly late night clubbers.
Oh.
Upcoming Modders, where we discuss a particular mod still in development. This topic today for the upcoming mods is a mod just in the concept stage, and by Sazerith. He is intending on making his own mod based on the Afterworld mod. And as we know, Afterworld is a content mod shipped with BTS where it changes the gameplay of Civ dramatically from a map-based strategy game into a turn-based tactical combat game. And from our, I think we covered it long time ago, Afterworld, and we felt there was some problems with the Afterworld mod. And
I think we actually discussed it when we were betaing our podcast. We
never our pilots.
It. Yeah, our pilots, you know. So people may not have heard us rip it a new one as we did.
Well, I promise to the listeners, I will. I promise.
Yeah, we just love everything.
Yeah, we love everything, except for my artwork. But I promise the listeners we will air those pilots one day. One day. We'll take a week off and edit release the pilot. It'll be fun. But for now, we get to cover the Aftermath mod, which Sazerith apparently wants to change the way the mod works. Perhaps he says here he wants to make it more fast-paced and action-oriented. And it said the bad guys now are zombies and mutants, so it'll be kind of interesting to see how he changes it up. He says he changed some of the base game values of damage and stuff like that, so we'll see how this goes. I mean, there's a lot of stuff he can do with this. John, did you ever play the Afterworld mod?
I think I did, maybe briefly.
What did you think of it?
It was okay.
Yeah, but okay at best.
It's better than us then.
Yeah, we said it sucked butt and cussed and stabbed at it and put a poop on it.
I'm waiting for that WW1 mod that Sazerith was actually working on with the mustard gas. And the last time he was on Modcast, he was talking about it.
Huh. Wonder what happened to that.
Yeah.
Who was the who was the one? Was he working on it by himself, or
no? He was working with someone else. I was pretty interesting, but apparently the modder was actually had to go off into the army for 12 months.
Oh, that was Snafu Smith, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. Snafu is off
now driving one of the things that he would otherwise be.
Yeah, yeah. Now he can really get the details down on his already great units because he'll be staring right at them.
Oh, okay. I guess they put it in the infantry. Oh, wouldn't that be ironic?
He's Air Force, I'm pretty sure. Okay. So,
yeah,
you know, they probably give him a pistol. But yeah, we hope Snafu is still listening to the show and is having a great time in Iraq. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah, because it's such a party house over there.
Yeah, it's like they call it the sandbox, because you know what you do in a sandbox? You play and make sandcastles, right?
Mm-hmm. Or sand craters, either way.
Oh, sand craters. I digress. Oh,
yes.
This looks like in this new mod he's making, that he's actually instead of those weird tentacle things, remember those things in Afterworld? What the
yes,
characters you were? He looks like he's replaced them with actual dudes with Uzis and shotguns and crap like that. You seeing this?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like he wants to add three different groups that you can play as, and you can play as the zombies. That should be interesting.
Oh, cool.
One of these groups, the military guys, mention. And there's apparently a group of survivors of the original population and the hunters. Basically just more heavily equipped soldiers, I guess.
Yeah.
It should be interesting, but one of the key criticisms that we had of Afterworld was that it's basically just a single map, and you play it through once, and then you're done. And kind of a lame ending as well.
Yeah.
I don't know that he plans to address that. I think if you want to make Afterworld work, it really has to work on some sort of random map to keep it at least somewhat interesting.
Well, you know, there is code available from the Fall From Heaven group that would allow, like, for instance, this is what I'd like to see. If he had randomly generated map scripts, or at least just a bunch of pre-made maps that were cool, you can actually have the XP of your dudes transferred to the next map.
Yeah.
That would make this game just, like, it would make it awesome, because not only is it just not the same map and the same lame ending, but it could go on in multiple encounters, and you can level up your guys differently and all kinds of stuff like that.
Or do, like, some kind of escape from such and such place, where it's, like, you start on one end of the map and you have to get to, like, a zone on the other end, like, fighting through all the zombies, and then once you get there, you just go on to the next piece. So it's going to be, like, a long, epic kind of thing without having to have all that loaded at once.
Well, if he hasn't already decided to do that, I hope he does, because that would make it really awesome. I don't know. It might just be me, but see that center picture in the very middle? How he's got the shotgun guy attacking, but there looks like a zone of influence around a lot of these guys. I wonder if that's ranged combat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was in Afterworld as well.
Oh, because when I was in Afterworld, I just remember it being melee attacks only. I can't recall very well. Haven't played it since.
The melee versus ranged combat is, I think it's more part of the engine. It's like a unit gets like a flag of whether it's melee or ranged, and then there are some rules that determine, like, if a ranged unit is shooting a ranged unit, they shoot at each other, or if like the guy pulls out his knife, if it's an archer getting attacked by a spearman kind of thing. It's a weird thing how it works, and you have to make different animations for each. So I wouldn't see any reason why it's different in Aftermath. They probably just flagged all the units as being melee or something.
Well, what I mean is, I wonder if these gun-wielding guys can do kind of like Dale's combat mod and attack a square a couple squares away.
Yes, that's how Afterworld worked as well. So,
oh, okay.
This works the same.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. I don't know. Afterworld, when I first put it, I was like, bleh. But no, this might be cool. This might just be what Afterworld needed to regain its honor.
Mm. It'll need a lot of work, so. But it's worth the ride. It's an interesting premise.
It does look like Kale is given some tips on how to do a lot of the things they want to do.
Really?
Help them out with.
Yeah.
You know,
buttons
some,
and stuff like that.
That's not some code their way.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of posts by Kale, some technical crap.
Yep, lots of technical crap from Kale.
You know, I'm glad that Kale's helping out with Sazerith. Has Sazerith made his own mod yet, or has he just been on Fall From Heaven all this time?
I don't know. That's a good question. He's done a lot of stuff.
I think he only did Fall From Heaven.
That's what I'm thinking.
We did interview him.
Yeah, I don't remember him saying any other mods.
A week ago. We forgot all about it by now.
That was like months ago.
Well, that's why I spoke to him on Symphonetics, and I asked him about the Muster Gas for that WW1 mod, and he says, it's still working in progress.
How long ago was that?
Not long after he was on Modcast.
Well, it looks like... It looks like here from the screenshot he had, the teaser, that some of this artwork I haven't seen before, like these army guys with shotguns and Uzis, I've never seen those before. And I've seen the zombies. We've talked about the zombies before, and there's also looks like some units out of Fury Road he did for Fury Road or whatnot. But also there's these cool dudes that look like total redos off the animation of the SEAL unit, but they have the same gun looking, but they have all this wicked body armor and these face masks and whatnot. They're pretty cool. Like, it looks like he's done a bit of work already just for the artwork, you know what I mean? And what I think is really awesome, if you look in the lower left corner of the screenshot, do you see that shit?
lower left corner, the one where there's the doorway.
He's got, looks like he's got two Uzis, one in both hands, firing at the zombie.
Yeah, I like that.
Better than Uzis though. Uzis with blades on the hilts.
Oh.
I remember seeing that in a movie, and it's like, wow, that is like an awesome thing.
Like one of those guns with a trigger guard, it's all giant spiked knuckle thing or something.
No, it's like, you know how the Uzi has like the big clip coming out the bottom? So it's like, off the end of the clip, there's like a knife. So like, you're like, when you run out of ammo.
Well, what I love about it is it's, he's dual firing. He's got both arms attacking. And I haven't seen that in anything but like melee units before. You know, that's cool. He's like, take all the bullets. Brah, brah. And he's fine like a gangster and shit, too.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is, though, his animation, he points them in different directions. If you look at the one in the upper left-hand corner, he's like pointing them off like he's going to shoot two different zombies at the same time.
Yeah, he's like...
It's actually what you do. You get a bunch of Uzis and a bunch of zombies coming at you and just spray the zombies, you know.
I'll get you and your smelly friends, too. Yes. This looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to most likely be a big improvement on Afterworld's gameplay. And I also hope he listens to the show and steals some of our ideas too, you know? But
we'll see.
They're not so much ideas, it's just, you know, things we think would be cool.
Exactly. I hope he does the... what I hope for most is he does the multiple levels or a map script. That would be sweet.
Yeah, map scripts. Definitely important.
It would be kind of a... It would be kind of a complex map script with walls and stuff. I mean, you know, to randomly generate little dungeons and whatnot. But,
yep. It would be quite tough to do, but I think it would be quite important. Because once you have that, it could be a very interesting mod.
Yeah, and it would have a lot of replay value, and I'm sure some mods if he gets it out, you know? say, Zareth, I hope you're still working on this project. I hope you finish. I hope you find your dream of having your very own freaking awesome mod. Sweet!
Call us if you have any feedback. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, it's a UK number, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net.
I hope that you're not completely scared, John, of being on the show, but I wanted to ask you a little bit about where you're from and what do you do. I still haven't figured out what you do. I know you make beer.
Yes, I make homemade beer when it's in season, of course, mainly during the winter months. I also do a lot of my own mods. I've been working on a mod for a while called the Stargate mod, which is set, of course, which is a combination of Stargate and Stargate Atlantis characters. Very interesting. I will be releasing a short video clip very soon when it's finished. I'll be posting that on CFC.
And Apolitan. Yay!
And Apolitan. And I want to get that finalized very soon. And I want to have it just right.
Now, from what I understand, you're a triple threat. You can do texturing, modeling, and code.
I've been a jack of all trades, yep.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Where do you live again? Don't you tell me you live in the bush?
I live in the bush, that's right.
The bush of a hot girl?
I'm not far from Melbourne, only a couple of hours out of Melbourne, and I like to say a big g'day to Dale, who lives in Melbourne, from Dale's Combat Mod.
Why don't you give him a good crikey?
have a crikey off.
Yeah, that's your hazing, man. You gotta definitely give us the crikey.
Oh, you really want one?
I want to hear
really want a crikey, do you?
Yeah, Dale crikey. Gave us one. Come on, more enthusiasm. Say it like you mean it.
Crikey! Look at that one is on the way. Oh, stroop. Stone the flaming crows.
Throw another shrimp on the barbie.
I told you I'd get a crikey out of him, Ken.
Yeah.
So,
if you get the show, you have to do one of those every episode.
Oh,
that's sounds fine.
Sounds like something we're gonna have to put in your contract. But actually, John is on the show today because he is on our list for possible new co-host to replace Oscar. So
yes, we were thinking of having like a place where you could vote on your favorite, and then they would be eliminated one by one.
No, that sounds awful.
We decided that was totally evil.
And also arbitrary.
No, you decided that.
Well, I honestly don't care what people who don't listen to the show want for a new guest co-host, and you know what I mean? If you don't listen to the show, don't vote there, but I don't want to do the voting. That sounds too much like Survivor or something.
We're not willing to give up that much power.
Exactly. We are drunk on power.
Bad.
But so we're glad to have you on the show today, and I hope you had a lot of fun. Did you have fun?
I'm having lots of fun. Yep.
Sweet. And I hope that, you know, Ken doesn't overly annoy you, because he sometimes pushes me over the edge and I just can't take it anymore, and I
like
just grip my fists, smash my keyboard. Damn you, Ken! Foiled yet again.
There's always a link to. Do you have a promo thread out there for CFC? Or are you keeping this mod on yours under wraps?
I will be releasing a full 2-minute introduction video, but I might actually do a cut down version, which is a beta, if you like. I might do that just privately.
Do you have like a thread on CFC? Where you
No,
not yet. I'll be soon as the final release. Of my Stargate mod is ready, I will be up putting on a thread.
Oh, okay. It's not going to be like this. Hey, guys, I'm going to have like a mod done in like 6 months. Make some decisions. Help make a mod. Please, I beg you.
Or, well, you know, I'd say go post it on there and see what comes out of the forums. You might have some great people who just are absolute Stargate fanatics who want to help.
Well, I know Dan Q is. Hello, Dan, if you're listening. yes, he was enthusiastic about it. As I said, of late I've been thinking of adding some of the characters from the Pegasus Galaxy, including the Wraith and the Genii.
And all the Stargate fans know what he's talking about, because I have absolutely no clue.
I'm really lost. Work for Wingy, yeah, that totally makes sense. But, you know, Stargate, like, what the, you know?
Well, there's no Ferengi. There are no Ferengi in the Stargate universe because there's no rules of acquisition.
Yeah. Well, you know, I only watch Stargate when it's like 4 in the morning and I'm on the Sci-Fi channel and one of my eyes is closed, the other one's half open, and like, what's this? What a weird show. That's about the main time I watch Stargate, middle of the night.
Well, it's quite funny. I just managed to have a look at the latest Stargate Atlantis episode off the Sci-Fi Channel, and they actually had zombies coming out of the mist.
Sweet!
It was actually quite good. An experiment gone wrong.
That's what Ken is.
Horribly wrong.
Ken is an experiment gone wrong. Experiment from your parents.
That last part didn't make any sense to me.
No. Well, I'll try it again next week, see if it works. But anyways, today we have been joined with Kenneth Impaler WRG Furland.
Howdy.
And Wouter Lacutus Snyders.
Goodbye.
Me, Tony Garrett Hazarka Keel. Bye. With special guest co-host John BT Oz Archer.
Say you all.
So, we'll have more interesting stuff in a couple weeks, and we'll see you guys then. Bye-bye.
Record date.
September 14th, 2008.
Sound clips copyright Civilization IV and the Warlords and Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Appolitan Civilization site at appolitan.net.